Good evening, everybody. Another episode of Low Standards and Pours, episode 18. Where the hell is Bill? And our subject tonight, it's an easy one. How people interpret being weird. We're going to connect with El Carpe as we speak. El Carpe, brother. Online, hot as we speak. What is going on, my brother?
Hey, you know what? We should get right into it because why not?
It's that time.
Yeah. Hey, we've talked about pet peeves before. Yeah.
Yeah.
People are annoying, but also crazy and weird. We've all got some crazy and weird.
What defines crazy and weird? Well, I'm going to say this right now really quick.
Yeah. You've had 38 seconds to prepare.
Right. So why is it that Walmart gets such a bad name with the people that shop there?
Because it makes that's it... where the crazy and the weird show up.
And what I'm getting at is like, all right, so you go to Walmart, you go anywhere, you're out in public, and maybe you're not most the So there's people that wear spandex that maybe shouldn't wear spandex. Sometimes I wonder, like, when they leave the house and or go out in public, it's I wonder why they do it. You know what I'm kind of getting at?
Yes.
In other words, you know, like,
well,
maybe...
Here's the thing is people don't think. You know, we're all in our own little lives, and we're all doing our own little thing, and everybody's got something going on in their brains. And the last thing we want to do is think about other people. When we're just when you get into that overdrive and you're trying to get stuff done and you're doing this, you're doing that, you're like, you know what? Just screw it. I'm putting this on and I'm going. I don't care what other people think because I'm off to do my thing. And then you go off and do your thing, and then other people look at you and go, "Holy crap, lady! How did you wedge that in there?"
Yeah, that's what I was talking about. Like, yeah, you know, some people, you know, it's like, you know, maybe those yoga pants just maybe aren't the right look for you right now. Well, I often wonder when they leave the house and they get in their car and they go shopping and they're out in public, what are other people thinking? And there's body parts that are showing. There's curves that are being accentuated that maybe shouldn't be.
Is that the weird or is that the strange? What is that?
I don't know. I think maybe you take weird and strange. It is kind of crazy. It is kind of crazy.
It's like, hey, I just don't care enough to, you know, and – But then, you know, there's.
Or maybe it's, hey, I feel so sexy that I'm going to go out and I'm going to wear this shit and I'm going to look good, at least in my eyes.
Well, and that goes to crazy as well.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I realize I am far too not sexy for any of the shirts I ever wear.
No, but.
If I were to go to that song, Right Said Fred. But I am not the sexiest man alive in the least bit, but I
wouldn't expect you to wear a pair of yoga pants to Walmart, go shopping for.
I wouldn't wear a pair of yoga pants in a casket. I mean, I'd choose at that point, but I mean, I could.
Yeah, that's the point. It's a good point.
I can seriously consider not wearing yoga pants ever.
Yeah.
And that's a whole nother story. But
now is that strange or weird, or is that just people being overly confident?
Well, I don't know. I'm not one of those people. I refuse to wear yoga pants ever, let alone in public.
Yeah.
I am not comfortable wearing sweatpants outside of the house.
All right.
You know, unless I'm going to a sporting event that I'm participating in and I wear the sweatpants over and there's got to be a lot of extra factors for me to go outside of the house in sweatpants.
Well, you're kind of a jeans and t-shirt kind of guy.
I'm a jeans and t-shirt guy. I'm a, you know, shorts and you know, white socks, not black socks pulled up with the shorts on. I'm not
right.
That guy yet. I'm not quite 65.
No. Well, after 65 is acceptable.
Well, right. And I also understand the rules. Although I have been known to wear white past Labor Day.
That's you're borderline pushing it.
Whatever.
There,
I don't even know which one is which. I've been on this planet. For 50 years, and I still don't know which one's labor and which one's memorial. It doesn't matter to me.
Memorial's May.
I wear white whenever that
Labor September, Memorial May. But you can't wear white before Memorial Day. You can't wear white after Labor Day.
Whose rule is that?
It's the fashion accessories.
Yeah, and I pay little to no attention to fashion people.
Yeah.
I'm a rebel that way.
You just have to look it up.
But then again, I'm also not the guy who will show up in Walmart sweatpants.
Right, right. Well, you know, I mean, you got say if you got a party going on and you're just getting ready for the day, you throw some sweatpants on, some sneakers, and you run out to the store and grab some stuff. I'm guessing you don't do that. It's jeans and some shoes and
like who decides?
Yeah, whatever shirt is
the right apparel
closest
to go shopping.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not my decision. Although some people make decisions that are just not fit for their body type.
Right, and right. No,
that's where the weird or the crazy comes in.
It's kind of disturbing. I often wonder what goes through people's head, you know. So I'm going to go out and I'm going to shop for the day and I'm going to wear these yoga pants that I have no business wearing and I'm going to go do my thing, you know.
But people just that's not a thought of like it's uncomfortable, therefore I'm fine.
Yeah, apparently. Yeah. I mean, you could wear them and then maybe wear like a long shirt that covers maybe most of what you're accentuating. That's right. All cool. So it's like from the hip or from the like the thigh down.
Right.
But some people wear short shirts, you know, and there's all kinds of shit moving around and you see all the curves that you don't want to see. And, you know, like,
well, I was thinking about getting me one of those cut off t-shirts so that I can accentuate my beer gut.
Yeah.
Then I would purposely go to Walmart because I am that jackass.
Well, maybe one of those half shirts, you know?
Well, that's what I was talking about.
Yeah, half shirt.
My old one from high school that I used to wear when I actually had a six pack.
Yeah.
When I had six pack abs, it was awesome. And now
Did you have six pack abs? Did you?
I was ripped. I was a swimmer.
Oh, no shit. Good for you.
Oh, yeah. I was ripped. And now I've got six pack abs. I just keep them hidden behind this quarter barrel.
Yeah. Right, right. Keep them protected.
Same here. Keep them safe.
I think I look more like a quarter barrel, but.
This is the beautiful part of the fact that you and I think so differently, because this is a direction we automatically went to a direction I was not even thinking of.
Yeah.
With the clothing and that, because I was going for the, you know, I like to purposely do the awkward. And it's in some instances, you know, if you're in a situation where things are uncomfortable, I like to embrace. I like to embrace that. And shine a light on it and poke fun at it. You know what I mean? You know, but that way, you know, everybody recognizes the uncomfortable was there. And then we can all look at it and go,
are you saying
the uncomfortable and I get everybody on my team. Like, you know, you shake somebody's hand the wrong way or you reach to shake their hand and you grab their nuts. then you just, I just back
up. It's been years since I've done that.
I did it Thursday. I don't even know. I'm just making that up. But if you do something like that, is, you know, that's where the, oh, holy crap, didn't realize your hand was like that.
Or, right,
you know,
right.
Something, so then that takes the uncomfortable away from that person whose nuts you just grabbed.
Right.
On accident while you're going to shake their hand.
And I get it.
And then, sure, yeah, you're still the idiot that grabbed his nuts, but it's also the, okay, we all realize what just happened was on accident. And God, that was actually kind of funny. Ha ha ha. We can laugh about it. Now we move on.
And well, you remember,
I don't know if that's crazy. I don't know if that's weird or that's just,
it's probably borderline crazy, but that's okay.
Yeah.
As long as you can go to jail.
That's the kind of weird I am. I'm like, if there's something odd out there, I'm going to point it out.
I mean, did you grab the nuts or just kind of touch the nuts or?
That's an example. I don't think.
All right. 15 years. All right. Just chucking.
You reach up to do something and you graze somebody's boob.
Oh God, my right nose, my right or my left, one of my elbows is probably bumped into at least 3,000 boobs. And I don't know how it happens, but the timing's always just right where I make the turn and my elbow's out and it just like boop hits that boob and then I'm like oh shit, I'm sorry, you know.
Well, right, but and there's a way.
Sometimes
to say,
it's
I'm
a
sorry,
conversation starter.
Yeah, and let it go, or just make it, just take it to the whole next level and go, wow, those are awesome. Or, you know, or something nice. Stupid to just, you know, make it silly.
Right,
and,
right,
and that's
right.
The kind of weird I'm talking about. That's the kind of weird I am.
Well, we both kind of.
Like, you ever walk, the people who do their talking on their speakerphone in public?
Yeah.
So, you know, you're in a public place and they're walking around talking, and you're hearing both sides of the conversation, right? So at a certain point, I'm like, well, I'm going to follow you because I want to hear how this ends.
Right, right. Hear the whole show, like, you know?
Hey, like, hey, you know, this is, I'm having a private conversation here. Yes.
Yeah.
In public.
Yeah.
For everyone to hear.
I've got friends that are, they put me on speakerphone. They go through the drive-through at like McDonald's or whatever. They don't, you know, they don't know what I'm capable of, but they'll put their order in and I'll start yelling out, you know, give me a large fry and large vanilla milkshake, and they can hear it. And they're like, oh my God, I got to turn this off. But I don't know if that's weird or not, but I'm always trying to catch a laugh somewhere, you know?
That's the fun. And when I say weird and crazy, I mean the fun weird and crazy, not the insane, you know, talking to yourself, walking down the street, you know, picking your nose.
Right, right.
That's not
yeah.
what I'm talking about.
Kicking
I'm
the tree.
About, you know, relatively normal people talking about stuff and doing something silly and goofy.
Well, let's do this. Let's compare society's norm to, like, your basic rock star. So if your basic rock star is walking around Sterling Heights or Plymouth or wherever we are at, and they're dressed the way they typically dressed on stage, right, they might be kind of weird. But if you go to that show and you see them and they're putting on a show, they're not weird. They're fucking cool.
It's all context.
Yeah.
It's context. It's,
yeah. So why is some things weird and some things aren't? You know, does it have to be that they're a rock star to dress weird and get away with it? You know?
People just pull that look off.
I'm talking like a Steven Tyler, you know, right, shredded pants and long shit hanging down and, you know, a little bit of makeup and, you know.
It's all subjective. It's all subjective.
Yeah, but if you saw that walking like down your street, you might be like, hey, kids, you know, don't go near that guy. But if you go see him in concert, you'd be like, that was the best concert I ever saw. He put on a great show.
Well, right. But there's an expectation and a context. And I think, you know, there's when we go to Walmart, there's an expectation in the context.
Yeah.
And that's why people bring their camera phones.
Well, let me ask you this. Do you think with the idea of, okay, we go to a concert, we go to see these guys perform, so maybe some of the lead singers, maybe some of them, you know, maybe Kiss might be a good example, dress a little bit weird. Do you think that goes back to thousands of years ago when we used to, you know, praise our quote-unquote gods? And they're dressed up with the gold and with the hair and maybe the neck extensions and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, we looked up to them because they were different, but they're the ones that ruled the world, or ruled our...
They're the ones communicating with our powers.
With the mothership, you know?
Yeah, with the red orbs or whatever.
You know what I'm talking about?
I have an idea. That's not really the direction I was headed with it, but I don't know where that would go.
No, it's my direction. Well, I'm just saying. I think weird. I think weird fits in somewhere. I think weird is outside of society's norm. I think, you know, I've been criticized in the past for, like, you know, I go golfing, right, and everybody gets dressed up in the, you know, the nice shorts and the polo shirts, and they're gonna wear like the Titleist hat and, you know, have the best shoes on and all that. And I walk out and, you know, whether, you know, whatever, cut off shorts and button down shirt. And I'm like, you guys ready to play golf? Let's go. You know, they're like, couldn't you just, you know, dress like you're supposed to? I'm like, it's golf. We're out in the middle of nowhere. Let's play golf. Right. I'm in shorts and a shirt. I'm just not dressed like you guys.
I'm with three of my buddies. What do I care?
Yeah, I got a cart full of booze, and some cigarettes. And what do I care? I'm not getting dressed up for you guys. You know, now if I was going to a private country club, it might be a little bit different, but. Public course, I'm going to go sling some bogeys and throw some sod. I'm not going out of my way to get all fucking dressed up, you know?
Because you do realize in the amateur world of golf, this is a
side
note, but in the amateur world of golf, the better dressed you are, the worse of a golfer you are.
Exactly. It's like, why am I going to go out and put $400 worth of clothing on if I can't hit a fucking golf ball? I'm going to look even worse.
If you have the time and energy to make yourself look really good to go play golf.
Yeah.
You're not learning how to play golf.
No.
You're spending too much time and energy on the clothes. You know what? go to the range for a while.
Yeah, I'd rather go out and shoot my bogey, double bogey golf in street clothes than get all dressed up and go hit my double bogey golf.
and you know how I play. It's
You're not bad.
I'm not good either.
But, no, you know, right. Good point.
I am not shy to use the foot wedge.
No, well, sometimes you have to.
You know, I can't remember the last time I kept score. I just don't care. I'm hanging out with my friends, doing what I want to do.
And yeah,
it's an activity.
Swing the sticks.
I used to play with some guys, and we used to do the. I don't know. They had some kind of little name for it. And it was like a quarter a hole, you know, 25 cents a hole and 25, you know, 50 cents for the first nine. And just to have something on it. And I'm like, oh, you guys are going to make me keep score now.
Right, right.
I'm not into that. I don't care enough.
I never kept score when I was a kid.
Maybe that's my crazy.
Yeah.
Is because I'm not into the norm of how you're supposed to play the game. You know,
yeah.
I wonder if that's why I love stand-up comedians so much, is because they step out of the norm so often to make their jokes.
You know, that's got to be the hardest job in the world.
Well,
a stand-up comedian.
Not to go off on a tangent too much, but I really enjoy a good turn of phrase, and the way some comedians really just twist the words. They set up the expectation and twist the words. And that's where the
humor's at, right?
That's where the humor's at, is in what your expectation is and what actually comes out of their mouth. And a really good wordsmith, I find hilarious. But when I'm watching them, I'm not laughing. My brain is entertained,
right?
Because
right.
It's a turn of, and it's like, oh yeah, that makes sense.
I'm kind of the same way. Yeah, I kind of chuckle
as I'm watching. I
get what they're leading up to, you know.
But it's so much as I'm like, I think the way you do, Mr. Stand-Up Comedian, I just don't have any of the tenacity and or energy to spend 10 years perfecting that craft. I just don't care enough. But
who do you think the best,
I love the way you're doing it.
Yeah, who do you think the best comedian is of all time, in our time?
Sorry, that
– You got one?
Did that come through as music?
What?
Oh, that was my mom's calling me.
Oh, you need to take that?
No, I can't.
You sure?
We're in the middle of a podcast, and it doesn't
matter. Right.
She'll forget that she tried to call me about 10 minutes from now. It's going to do this about three more times, but then she'll forget.
Oh. Well, if you got to take it, you got to take it. I'll talk to myself.
It's terrible of me to say. what were you saying?
No, who do you think the best – who's been your most influential – comedian, yeah, comic in the last 20, 30 years. Since you've been alive, 50 years.
I really love I love a good one-liner comic. You know, Stephen Wright, of course, is great. There's a plethora of good one-liner comics, and I like that. Quick setup, punch, done. Quick setup, punch, done. And a good turn of phrase.
Yeah.
The less words you use, the more you have to think it through, you know, the more you have to work your craft in order to make it happen. Right.
Right. Right.
And I respect that. And I love that. I will tell you though, really like Ricky Gervais for his stand up. I really like, Anthony Jeselnik. He's dark.
I have
evil and horrible, but every joke he tells, every setup and punch that he does, it's like this evil good turn of phrase, and it's so well thought out and so well written. And then his delivery and his act on stage of this asshole that he plays is phenomenal. It's this whole persona that he's put together. I really think he's one of my favorites.
You ever seen Bill Burr?
Yeah, I love him.
Oh yeah, you're describing
Bill. He's got a great podcast too.
Yeah, you're describing Bill Burr to me, and I love his attitude about things and his views on things. And I went and saw him live at the Fox Theater in Detroit not too long ago,
yeah.
And he put on a good show. But I love is the way he kind of leads up and tells a story, and he can.
He's a great storyteller, and he's got a good, a fun attitude about. Hey man, whatever. This is how it is. It's just
right.
And he's just so straightforward.
Yeah, he tells it like we can all relate to it. You know,
right? He's a regular guy.
Exactly. Yeah. He talks about putting that shit. He says something about he bought some, I forgot what it was, an entertainment center or tables or something from IKEA, and his wife wants him to put it together. And I don't know, he goes off and is talking about it and how there's so many parts to put together. But everything that he talks about is things that I can relate to. And I have that kind of whatever.
Well, and he does not hold back on the language, and I'm fine with that. But
yeah.
He's one of those abrasive, straightforward, you know, kind of guys. And, you know, there's, like I said, a number of one-liner guys that I like. I don't know if you remember, used to be on Letterman all the time, was Gary Mule Deer?
No.
He'd show up with a guitar, and he'd never play the guitar. He just had the guitar with him. He did this.
Right. For a prop?
Yeah. Well, and he had jokes written on the guitar.
Oh, interesting.
And he'd do this bit where he'd tape a rubber chicken to the microphone stand, and then he'd put a lit cigarette in the mouth of the rubber chicken.
Yeah.
And then he'd step about 10 steps away with a fake rubber arrow, you know, like the suction cup arrows.
Yeah.
And he'd shoot it with his guitar string.
Really?
Knock the cigarette out of the chicken's mouth.
No shit.
And just stupid shit. I mean, yeah. That's crazy.
That's crazy entertaining.
Yeah, that's like, you know, what were you thinking?
Right.
When you thought of that. That, I love that, you know. But, you know, he comes up with all sorts of stuff. You know, like, you know, my grandpa used to say, if everybody liked the same things, we'd all be after your grandma. Yeah. And I love those little, that's a great little, hey, set it up, bam.
Right.
Set it up, bam. You know?
Yeah. I've been a big supporter. I don't know. I think some of the funniest, most entertaining comedians have been black entertainers. Eddie Murphy, Chris Rock. There's something about them that.
Who's that little guy that always hangs around with The Rock? Was in Jumanji. I can never remember his name, but he's funny. But he's not funny to me on his own. He's funny when he's with other people and they riff off each other.
Yeah, they're kind of riffing off each other, sure.
Yeah, I get a kick out of that. You know, and that's the other thing why I love our show is because you and I think considerably differently on different things.
Yeah.
At the beginning of this topic today, you come up with something completely off the wall that I was not even going there. And I didn't think Walmart stuff. I was thinking, you know, walking next to somebody in public and just being the crazy guy. Hey, I want to hear how the story ends. You know,
right. Kind of right. No, I get it. I get it.
You know, I heard a comedian talking about this. I was listening to some stuff today. I heard a comedian talking about this. He's like, you know, if you want to really freak people out, if they start saying, talking to you, and I'm paraphrasing this horribly, but he's like, if they start talking to you and you don't want to deal with these people, start making sea lion noises. Just start making weird noises, and people will just look at you and then walk away.
Yeah, exactly.
You got to sell it. You got to sell it.
You got to set it up and sell it for sure.
I could sell sea lion.
Oh,
you know, I could sell that thing in a heartbeat. You're starting to give me a hard time. But it's goofy crazy, and I would, you know, I embrace the goofy, silly, crazy.
No, so do I. Like that shock value, you know, like what the hell did you just do, you know?
And I think I also, you know, to step away from the comedian thing for a little bit, but I think I always enjoyed my fringe friends.
Meaning?
And I wanted to pause there to let that sink in for a minute.
Yeah, a little clarification.
But my fringe friends were not the you know, and this is high school and college, and even after that. Not the ones who were like the sports guys and the you know
right
the jocks
the sportos and
the well the dweebies, and they all adore him. They think he's a righteous dude. Sorry, no, that's Ferris.
Oh, yeah, that's Animal House.
Ferris Bueller.
I know that.
Yeah, don't get me started. but the ones that were off kilter, the gay guys. I always had a fun time with the guys because they thought differently, and yeah. I always thought it was interesting. Those guys, the musician guys, the theater people, the ones who were in the sports that were not football, baseball, or basketball.
Right.
The ones that, you know, were not the center of attention all the time. And in order to get attention, you had to do something a little bit goofy, you know, like, and even in music, the punkers and those were
the Wastoids.
Right. And Dweebies, the Bloods, you know, back to Ferris Bueller again.
Right.
They think he's a righteous dude. But those were the kind of, that's where life was interesting, is on the edges, on the fringes of things, you know? And I don't know where I was going with that, other than to, you know, that's where I was actually heading with this topic today. Was, you know, is it the fringe that is the most interesting, or is it the center of everything?
Well,
the interesting people.
At what point in time in your life do you travel along being, you know, kind of like society's norm, meaning, you know, if the, in other words, like we grew up, we went through kind of, there's like a punk stage, there was a preppy stage, and
right. There
was a new wave stage, whatever, disco was in there and all that.
Right.
But at what point in time do you steer away from that and kind of do something on your own, even though you may not be accepted by what society's norms telling you to do? Is that acceptable or not, or is that being an individual or being unique or whatever? I always find that kind of interesting because I think that those are some of the people that end up being quote unquote weird or strange, you know? I don't know. You got any thoughts on that?
Well, you know, so let me understand the question. Are you saying at what point do you step out and become your own person and not care what other people think?
Yeah. So, you know, I guess, you know, when we were listening to like all the alternative music that was out there,
right.
You know, it was a way to dress, and the way you dress kind of associate yourself with that kind of music and whatnot. And what is that, you know, I just kind of wonder, it's like, you know, is that weird or is that acceptable? Because is it a norm? Is it a new, you know, like there was parachute pants and there was mohawks and there was piercings and all that. And, you know, when you step out and do that kind of stuff and actually feel like, hey, this is me. This is the reason why I'm doing it. This is why I associate with whatever. I don't find myself weird. I find myself associating with this kind of, you know, I'm getting at. I'm kind of all over the place, but
yeah,
you kind of know what I'm getting at. In other words, there's only so long you can, there's only so long that you kind of try to keep up with, you know.
Well, but at a certain point, society's norms, then all of a sudden you're not unique anymore, right?
Yeah. And if you're not going to be unique anymore, is it okay to be weird? Is it, you know, is it socially acceptable to be weird?
Weird as
you know,
fun. Is it,
like, you know, I mean, hey, there's people that are, you know, painting their hair different colors. There's people that are wearing earrings again. There's people that are wearing, you know, back in the day, we were army boots and, you know, maybe some ripped up jeans, a leather coat, and maybe a couple piercings or something. That was the cool thing because you were, you know, associating yourself with punk music and, you know, anti-government.
Right.
Is that weird? Or is that cool? Is that, you know, is that the norm or is that not the norm? You know?
We're always cool.
Yeah, we're always cool.
Okay, then. All right.
Yeah,
you
whatever.
Say some words for a while. Like, I need a minute and a half to get this taken care of here.
A minute and a half?
Okay, 38 seconds.
All right, and counting.
Yeah.
So it is episode 18. Where the hell is Bill? You are the host, Bill, tonight.
Oh, really?
Yep. And we're talking about why we interpret people that are weird or what's our?
No, we're not.
I know. Why is it that society's norm is so the popular and being outside of society's norm is not so popular? You know, why is it that painting your hair is outside the norm and just having a hair part on the side is whatever? You be about done there filling that thing up?
Hey, yeah. All right, hang on.
No, you're good. You're good. Little downtime's all right.
Yeah. No,
I got criticism by my parents for being outside the norm. You know, they're like, oh, why do you got to wear that? Well, it's the way guys from the Cure dress, or that's the way the Pixies dress. But I don't know, whatever.
Well, see, I never got ridiculed or even. Well, my dad was not pleased when I pierced my ear.
Yeah, well, you're flocking Siegel's haircut too, or your
Chaja Google. First or second Chaja, time Chaja, Chaja, my yeah. ear. He didn't mind the haircut so much.
Yeah.
And whatever, enough about me. But I will say this, with my kids, because they get the grades that they get in their
smart
schools and all that stuff, my son has done his hair color 17 different ways.
Yeah.
And, the first time I think he was nervous about asking us, and I looked at my wife, I'm like, why would I care what color hair you got?
Your kid's killing it.
You're doing just fine. It would be different if, you were a troubled kid and you couldn't get the grades that you needed, or you were off screwing off doing stupid stuff. But you're just fine. Do what you want. If it's hair, he wants, get an earring or something like that. I would recommend against the earring, but it's not my body.
Do they wear earrings these days?
My daughters do.
Well, I know the guys. I'm talking about the guys. I went to Daytona and got an earring. Yeah. And when I was 17, gauges even. Huh?
They wear those gauges. Hoop and holes.
Right. Right. Mm-hmm. That's kind of crazy.
Well, but again, it comes down to, it's not my life. And this again, we can broaden this even. There's certain crazy that just has to be acceptable.
Right.
And it doesn't matter if it bothers you specifically, or it's against your particular religion or your particular belief system or whatever the hell you have. You've got to realize that we're just a bunch of great apes that need to learn how to live with each other.
Yeah, yeah.
And if you have a problem with one of them getting an earring, and he's not even your kid, and he's some kid that your kid hangs out with, and you think that that kid is too weird for your kid to hang out with, there's a problem with you.
Yeah.
Because you know what? Especially when they're in high school and early college, they're still trying to figure out who they are.
Sure.
Let them. I remember going through that, figuring out who the hell I was. And, it was crazy.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I did some stupid shit. And thankfully, I survived.
Yeah.
There were a couple of times I shouldn't have, but I did.
Yeah.
And I'm happy. But you got to let these kids do some stupid stuff.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
When I say stupid stuff, I'm not talking about, leaping out of an airplane with no parachute. I'm talking about,
That could be stupid.
Well, that's absolutely stupid. But I'm talking about, let them do their hair different. Let them wear the weirdest clothes ever.
Let me ask you this. What happens if your son was a C student and he was coloring his hair and kind of maybe just doing weird things out of the ordinary? Would you be concerned about it the same way? I mean, would it bother you?
I think there'd be more conversation.
Yeah.
I'm really glad I don't have to have that situation.
Sure.
I think there'd be more conversation like, hey, how come you're not doing this? And it would be more about the school stuff.
Right.
Are you rebelling against school or what? I was just fortunate enough that my wife, pushed the idea that school is actually important. And, once you get past that, you guys can do whatever the hell you want.
Sure.
So.
But, do you take that away from them if they're not getting good grades in school?
I'm not that kind of dad.
Yeah. Or you just let them be themselves and you work through whatever you got to work through.
Yeah. You love them.
Yeah.
You love them and you help them and you say, and I think that's something that, this show is not going to be about parenting, but whatever, we're there now.
Well, but it kind of applies.
When my little ones were growing up, it was more of, you know, you guys need to learn how to do these things. I will help you. And then I helped them learn how to do these things. And then they did those things or whatever it was. And it wasn't so much as these are the rules you have to live by them. It was, you need to learn how to live this way.
Right.
And you got to figure it out how you're going to handle this. But these are some of the things that we have to end up doing. And I don't even know if I'm even explaining it correctly. I'm sure there's somebody out there, you know, who's not related to us, who's listening.
Yeah. No, I think you are. You're making sense.
The two people that are not related to us who are listening.
Right.
Can feel free to call in and say, El Carpe, you're full of feces.
You're full of crapola.
Yeah. You don't know how to be a parent. You got to beat them into submission. Well, you know what? That's never worked.
No.
Because what you do when you beat your kids into submission is you teach them how to beat other people into submission.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you're teaching new bullies.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's seven things in the world I will never do, no, I'm saying, but if there's one thing I really can't stand is bullies.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, but I was going to go back to
talking about kids, letting them do what they want to do. Good grades.
I thought we were going back to weird.
Weird? You just want to go back to weird? We'll skip. We'll pass all that and be done with
that. I mean, who did you hang out in high school? Did you hang out with the weird kids, or were you one of the weird kids?
No, you know, I was one of those guys that I hung out. I had a lot of sets of friends.
Right.
So I hung out with the jocks. I hung out with the burnouts. I hung out with the guys that were into music. I hung out with the geeks. They all had something to offer. They were all entertaining people. They're all good people.
You were familiar.
Exactly. And I didn't feel like I had to just hang out with like the jocks because that's who I had to be, or that's why I wanted to be, how I wanted to be, you know, thought of.
Right.
I had the nice thing about when I went to the school that I did, when I went to that school, I had to go for summer school for math because I'm terrible in math. So they're going to say, they told me, as long as you pass the class in summer school, you can go to this school. So that's what I did. I passed the class. All right. But I was always lousy in math. I just never really kind of – I don't have the mind for it. But so I knew a lot of people in summer school. I knew a lot of people from the subdivision I lived in. I knew a lot of people from the school that I was transferring from. And we were all going into this Catholic school that, you know, that I went to.
Mm-hmm.
So I knew, like, you know, I don't know, probably 40 people out of 200 going into – my freshman year. It was an easy transition and all that.
And every one of those people has a different interest.
Yeah. I could be the gearhead. I could talk about cars and motorcycles and all that.
Oh,
I could play sports. I could, you know, I did everything. That's kind of who I was. And, but the people I always kind of embraced were the music people, the people that, and it just happened to be the people that did a little bit of drugs, that drank a little bit, smoked a little bit of weed, but got into big time music.
Right.
That's the people I felt the most comfortable with. And to this day, it's the same way. You know, it's kind of a...
Yeah, that's why you're hanging out with me.
Exactly. And, but, yeah, those were always kind of the weird people, you know. They always came in with, you know, the clothes were a little bit different. It wasn't a bomber jacket. It was kind of a motorcycle jacket or...
Right.
You know, it was, you know, people just a little bit off center. Yeah.
Yeah. A lot off kilter.
Because
that's where life is interesting. Like I said, we were talking about before, that on the fringes, on the edges, on the outside, that's where the interesting is. You know, and it doesn't, and I'm not saying you have to sell out and you know, start dressing like everybody on the fringes, or, you know,
right.
Picking some group that's on the fringe and then become that group, you know, and I think that's a lot of why you and I can see both sides of many stories is because we've been the guys who have been closer to the center, looking out at the fringes going, wow, those guys are cool. And then you go hang out with the fringes and then you're like, all right, well, and then you're kind of part of their group, but you're not sold into it.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right. It's 100%. Yeah.
I was the same way, you know, and I told you before, I used to, in college, I would sit down with the jocks for lunch.
Yeah,
and then you know they
that's who I carpooled with.
I'd have
they're all jocks.
I'd have three different lunches at lunchtime. I would start at 11:15, and I'd sit down with one group of friends, the jocks or whatever, and then another group of friends, the burnouts, and then another group of friends, the music people or the religious right or whatever. It didn't matter to me. I wanted to hear people talk. I wanted to hear stories. I wanted to get to know what was going on in people's brains.
But you're like me. You could go to a concert on Friday night, go see the Psychedelic Furs with a bunch of mohawks and painted faces and earrings and fit right in like those. That's your crew, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's the way I was. You know, I didn't pass judgment. I felt like those were my people, you know?
And this goes back to you and I both being adopted, where we adopt ourselves into whatever crew we're in.
Yeah.
You just find this is the clan that I'm around today. I can fit into this clan. I'm flexible enough. And it's that chameleon thing.
Right.
And I don't know if it's just us or if there's other people who feel like they could be chameleons too. I'd really love to hear about this from other people who think that maybe they're kind of chameleon-ish too.
Yeah.
Because, you know, like I said, there's a lot of people out there and we're all weird in our own little way, but
another point that I was going to make is that you got groups like the Harley Davidson groups, the guys that identify with driving a Harley Davidson and that's all they do. That's their life. That's all they do. And I wonder sometimes, like, you know, I knew this guy, he was a salesman, clean cut. He sold for a big moving company. And he came in one day and he says, "Oh, I bought a new." I didn't work for that company, but we worked in the same building. We just got to know him. And he came in one day and he's all, "I got my new Harley outside." He's all, you know, black leather jacket and ripped up jeans. And he's trying to kind of portray himself like a Harley dude. And you're like, "You're not a Harley dude. You're not. I mean, you can maybe try to be, but you're not fitting it, you know?" And I wonder about people like that sometimes. And you people, you know, that wolf pack mentality, they need to associate with people that are like people to feel accepted. It was more the people themselves than it was any kind of, you know, organization or following or anything. You know, they could be Harley Davidson guys. They could be lacrosse guys. They could be music guys. If the people were cool, that's who I fucking looked out for, you know?
Right, and that was the thing too for me was I always liked the individuals, and that was where I was headed with it was you know, you get into this whole little clan issue or whatever, but it's not what the group is doing that you like, it's that particular person,
particular
couple, three or four people that you're hanging out with, those are the ones that you want to hang out with. And it's not because they're Harley Davidson guys or burnouts or you know, punk rockers. It's you found one or two things that you can identify with and then decide, you know what, I want to be part of this. I want to hang out with these people. I'm going to talk to these folks.
Right.
And then the next thing you know, you're buddies.
Yep. And no, I agree 100%.
You find out that you're buddies with some of the craziest fringe people ever, and it's fun.
Yeah.
Life is supposed to be fun.
Yeah.
If you can't have fun, get the fuck out.
Yeah, but I'm sure you'll agree with me, but I always found that going to some of these crazy concerts, especially like the Lollapaloozas and some of these like, you know, old punk. Never been to the Lollapalooza? The all-day concerts, the festivals?
Nope.
But you get there. Yeah, you get there and people, you know, there's a thing called Burning Man. Did I ever tell you about Burning Man?
It sounds familiar.
Yeah, Burning Man happens every year around Labor Day. I think it closes out on the actual last day. It closes out on Labor Day itself. But it's a festival they have. I don't know a lot about it, but I heard about it years ago where it started off with a group of people, and it was all about the arts. So you go and you celebrate the arts. And they called it Burning Man, and they would burn this like statue that was made every year. And every year it's different. Every year it's a different theme, but it's all about the arts. And it happens out in the middle of a desert, I believe, in Nevada. And it started off with thousands of people, then it's 10,000s of people, and it's grown to be this big, huge thing. But it's all about individualism, and you can go out there,
like an art festival.
Yeah, and you can go out there, and you can. I think there's some rules, so you can't sell things, but you can barter. So you could say, like, I'll take a jug of your water, and I'll give you a back massage, you know, something like that, or I'll do a dance for you, something like that. And it started off kind of a little bit drugs, a little bit sex, and they clean a lot of it up.
But that's no fun.
Yeah, they sit, like, in this big ring of people, and it's a mile wide, and there's tens of thousands of people that go out there every year to participate in this. And some are naked, some are in costume, some are just regular people, some bring their kids, but it's a whole festival on celebrating you as an individual and the arts. And it's kind of interesting. It's I should look it up sometime. Yeah, it's called Burning Man. And it's all over YouTube.
It sounds familiar, but I didn't know it was that involved.
Yeah, it's a really big to do. It really is. Okay. And it's unfortunate that we don't have more things like that. I know there's a lot of festivals that have what do they call them now? The raves and all that, and the electronic music festivals, and these kids can go out and be themselves and get dressed up, and you know, nobody's criticizing and all that. But that's kind of where the weird is the norm. You know, you can glitter all your face and show up in a diaper and you're fucking cool as hell, you know. Nobody's gonna criticize you, and it's kind of a cool movement. So,
you know, that takes me back to Hamtramck Music Festival and the Music Festival.
Yeah,
you know, where you show up to listen to bands and you get to be whoever the heck you are, and nobody judges you. You're out there having fun, and everybody's supporting music.
And it's it's when I worked with you this last time when we were doing the wrist bracelets and all that kind of stuff. It's funny is everybody is willing to talk. Everybody's willing to ask questions. Everybody wants to know. And everybody's kind of on the same page. I don't think we ever found anybody that was, you know, overly arrogant or somebody that you wouldn't want to hang out with or maybe even pal around with. They're kind of all on the same page. They're for the same reason, you know,
to listen
to these bands and stuff.
We would sell in wristbands. The two nights I sold wristbands, I saw 1,000 people.
Yeah.
Right. And of those 1,000 people, everybody was cool.
Yep.
Everybody was fun. And everybody had, you know, they were coming to me to get the wristbands.
And meanwhile, it's fucking frigid cold. It snowed again like 2 days before, another 6 inches. Does. Yeah. Right. And these people are still like, where do I go? Who's the band to see? Give me my wristband. Can't wait to go out there. Thanks, guys. They're all appreciative, you know?
And everybody was cool because we all had a common purpose.
Right,
The common purpose was, let's go listen to some bands. Let's go have some fun. Let's go to a bar and hear some good music. And it didn't matter if the guy had, you know, 6 earrings in his head and, you know, a staple through his eyebrows or whatever. I didn't care.
Yeah.
You know, these are people. And again, it comes down to a common purpose. And I guess crazy is when that common purpose is different than what your common purpose is.
Right, right.
I mean, I'm sure there's some, you know, Webster's dictionary definition of crazy that, you know, is out there or whatever. But I'm of the opinion that most of the crazy and the weird is that which is different from the norm. And sometimes the norm is actually the crazy and the weird.
And
that's where the fun is.
That's where the story starts.
The story starts when the norm is the crazy and the weird.
Yeah. It's like I was looking through before we started this podcast, I was looking through some pictures and stuff of the bizarre and weird and all that. And you know what? Excuse me. You know what really kind of is extremely bizarre are the people that tattoo their face.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's kind of going beyond the bizarre and beyond the weird, you know, and that kind of opens up another whole, you know, discussion for another time. But that's like, you know, the extreme. I don't really get that people tattoo.
I don't understand that either. I don't have a problem with it necessarily, but I don't get it.
Mm-mm. And if it's small, if it's a little thing on the side or whatever, fine. But some of these guys, man, it's all over the place, well, like, up their neck, around their face. And
boxer guy that did that with his face.
Yeah, Tyson.
Yeah, Mike Tyson. Like, yeah. Really? Really? You yeah. Do that?
Yeah.
You know, maybe there's some emotional problems or something going yeah. on there or whatever. But still, that doesn't mean I'm going to hate the guy because he does that. It's just that's his thing.
Right.
And I don't know if I'm too accepting of people, but I don't have a problem with the goofy.
Right, right.
I love the weird.
So do I.
That's me spraying again. I'm outside the backyard getting bugged.
Oh, okay.
The skeeters are out big time tonight.
Yeah.
So,
You don't have short shorts on, do you?
Well, yeah, I'm wearing my nut huggers. I'm not.
The nut huggers.
Goofball.
Oh, man, you showed my house too many times those things on. anyways, but you know, even like, I'd love to hear Jim Morrison's, why he wrote the song People Are Strange. You know, it's such a great song.
Is there a story behind that that you're gonna
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know that. I'd love to know the reason why he wrote that, you know, why people
I'm
are
sure
strange.
There's a very good reason.
You know,
people are strange.
Yeah. I think Echo and the Bunnymen covered it, right?
Yeah, they sure did. They did yeah. a great job with it.
Is it that because people are constantly right. trying to fight the norm and be the norm, or is it people that are their own individual that want to just do whatever they want to do? You know, if they want to drive in a purple car and, you know, wear green hair and go half naked, let them go. If that's who they think they are, if they're comfortable with that, you know, I don't know.
And it does. It comes down to, what are you comfortable in? Are you comfortable in your own skin?
Yeah.
And if you're comfortable in your own skin and your own skin happens to be green, well,
yeah.
fine.
That, yeah, let it be green.
That's just how it is.
Exactly.
You know, and from what I hear, it's not easy being green.
No. So I don't know. So
it was a horrible 1980s reference to Kermit the Frog.
Oh.
It's not easy being green. Come on, man. You didn't catch that right away?
I don't have the depth of that. You know that. Yeah, I'd have to go back and research that. Yeah, I don't know. It's funny. It's, you know, I guess, you know, the big question is I don't know. I mean, society, you know, I often wonder, it's like, if we didn't have corporate jobs and if money was plentiful, you just had to go off a tree and pick it, and we could be anybody we wanted to be any right. day of the week, you know, who would we be? Would you dress the same way you do, jeans and a t-shirt? Would you dress any differently? Would you do your hair any differently? You don't have to impress anybody at work anymore. You don't have to fit the, you know, the position as an underwriter or a corporate guy.
But see,
I'm just saying, it's like, money's no object. Life is no object. You can just, let's say if you won $20 million, $50 million, right. doesn't matter. You don't have to work anymore. You say you quit work. Would you just dress the same way? Or would you say, you know what? Hey, I'm worth $50 million. I'm going to dress the way I want to. I don't have to impress anybody anymore.
Well, I don't have the $50 million, but I still do it anyway.
But if you did, I mean, would you wear yoga pants?
I would not wear yoga pants.
Either way.
I don't. It just doesn't matter. Yoga pants are out of the question.
Yeah.
Out of the question. Doesn't happen.
Yeah, there was a senator in South Carolina, I think it was, North Carolina, that was trying to get yoga pants outlawed. And I laughed at it the first time I heard it. But after I thought about it for a little bit, I'm like, you know, the guy's got a point. I go shopping downtown Plymouth at this little mom and pop shop kind of thing. They own like five or six different stores. And right. I'm walking, I'm grabbing my eggs and sausage and whatever else. And I'm walking behind this father and this young daughter, and this younger daughter is wearing yoga pants. And the daughter couldn't have been, I don't know, 12, 13, 14. I don't know how old kids are anymore. I can't tell, but right. she's wearing yoga pants. And, you know, hey, you know, it's like.
Did they say juicy on the ass?
No, but what I'm trying to get at is that, you know, I looked once, I looked twice, and then I felt perverted. And that kind of made me upset. Like, you know what? That father shouldn't let that daughter wear yoga pants.
Well,
because they're creeping and there's
exactly
a lot of revealing stuff. Yeah, problem and I'm is like, you. Shame on you.
No, no, shame on you.
Shame on me.
Yeah, shame on you.
Why shame on me?
If you feel guilty about looking, that's your problem.
No, I know. I know.
You know,
I say that's a Catholic upbringing.
Well, right. We feel guilty about everything.
Exactly.
You know, I see somebody new, you know, the first time at work in the morning. Hey, how you doing? I didn't do it. That's my right. first response. I didn't do
right.
it.
And right,
I say
right.
that out loud to them. Hey, how you right. doing? I didn't do it.
Wasn't like, my fault.
I had nothing to do with it. And yeah. usually it's one of my bosses. Said, hey, Bill, how you doing today? I didn't do it.
Okay.
What the hell's the matter with you? Yeah, right. I'm just saying hi. That's how I say hi in the morning.
Right, right. Yeah, but you know where I'm coming from, though? It's like,
I do.
You know, it's just kind of, it's getting out of control, you know?
See, the problem is,
fucking kids are half naked. I mean, put it this way. From 20 feet away, whether they're wearing yoga pants or the shit is painted on, I can't tell. Because the look is the exact same look.
Right.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, but it's your problem. It's not the dad's problem. It's not the kid's problem. They went out to do whatever they were going to do. You were seeing this in a particular way because of how your brain functions and says, I feel guilty because I'm looking at, wow, holy crap, that's her ass or whatever.
Yeah, that's what it was.
And it's like, that's your problem, not theirs.
No, I agree. But I agree. And I looked once, I looked twice. I'm like, if I look one more time, I'm perverted. That's why I felt.
Right. But the beautiful part about it is you don't have to see them again.
Right, right, right.
It's a momentary meeting that you don't even have. And you have these feelings and you're like, well, okay, well, that's my problem. And you just deal with it and move on.
No, I felt like slipping the guy a note, like, you know what? You should have a little bit more responsibility for what your kid wears, you know? I stopped and got cigarettes today. I went to the party store and picked up a couple things. I forgot to get cigarettes. And so I was on my way home. I stopped at the gas station and I put my mask on. I was walking in and this older gentleman and his younger daughter were walking in. I held the door for him and I saw them walking up and I'm like, all right, I want to, and they walk in and I went and bought my cigarettes and I turned around. They were kind of picking out a few things. And this girl, you know, she wasn't the thinnest, but she wasn't the biggest. Right. But she had these painted on ultra thin shorts that were allowing things to kind of fall out underneath.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm talking about? And yep, I'm like, you know, yeah. And I'm like, you know, I'm thinking about the father again. Like, you know, I don't get it. I don't understand. I don't understand how you can walk your daughter walking out of a house with essentially her ass hanging out. I mean, her ass cheeks. And thing creeping up her ass, and she's like 12. I'm like, yeah. I don't get it. And that's, to me, is weird. It's bizarre.
As a dad,
fucking bizarre.
As a dad, I understand that this has issues.
Yeah.
And you got to let the kids do the stuff, you know. And she's going to figure out at a certain point, she's going to go, oh, well, I don't really want to dress this way. Or she's going to continue to dress that way, but it's going to be her choice. And to be a decent father, you got to let the kids make their choices.
Yeah.
And that's just something that I've learned from growing up as this potentially dad thing that I am or whatever the hell I am.
Yeah, I just think it opens a book or opens a door to perverts wanting to grab or touch or make a comment or something. And then, the fight starts, you know.
Right. And, you know, the dad's got to be there to punch the snot out of the perv.
Yeah, it's like, let's say we're 21 or whatever, and it doesn't matter, 19, getting to some of these bars when we were younger. Now all these girls, not all of them, but some of these girls are wearing very revealing either short skirts or tops that, you know, drop way down, but they give you shit for looking. So it's like, well, then don't fucking wear that shit.
Right.
You know? It's like, you're making me look, but you're criticizing me for looking. What do you want? If you want me to look, then don't criticize me. You know,
right.
To me,
you're
fucking weird.
Dressing this way.
Yeah. I don't know. You know, I don't understand the way people think.
Is it crazy or is it weird?
Yeah. It's kind of both.
Yeah.
It's kind of nutty shit. It's nutty shit, Bill.
Where are we at with the nutty shit?
We're about 10 seconds down, Bill, and we are going to wrap this up.
All right. Well, I like the sound of that. I've had a great chat, and you know, I always love talking to you. And
likewise,
one of these days, very, very soon, we're going to do a semi post COVID upstairs at Eric's, where I show up with a bottle of something delicious, and we have a tasting event.
Yeah, amen, my brother.
We talk about stuff other than, you know, all this socio-political BS crap that we've been talking about for the last couple of shows, and just do something fun that way. And then also I'm in the works with trying to get some of our band friends to talk to us to see what they're up to, how they're handling the COVID crisis and not being able to play in public, but yet, you know, what are the projects they're working on type thing. And we'll get that stuff going again.
Yep. Because you need to concentrate a little bit more on the pores and a little bit more on the music.
Well, yeah, a lot of the pores, a lot of low standards, a lot of the music that we started with, because, you know, this whole podcast thing started because we both love music.
Yep.
And we wanted to talk music, and we have not had the opportunity to do that because stupid COVID thing.
Right. So, yeah, took the wind out of our sails a little bit.
Yeah, but you know, it's been a lot of fun getting to know some of the, you know, four fans that are not our family, and talk with them about different stuff. We've had different people call in. We've had some good shows.
Yeah, they're only getting better.
Well, I hope so. What show number is this? 18 or 19?
Yeah, 38?
18.
Yeah.
Holy crap.
We're moving right along.
Where can people find us?
Spotify, iTunes, Podbean, and YouTube. And also, YouTube, we just added TuneIn, I believe. So I need to double check to make sure that we're on TuneIn. Okay. And I don't know much about it, but I signed up for it. So we're trying to get our name out there. We can also, Bill, and we'll talk about this another time, is that I sent you a direct feed to your Facebook for our last show. I don't know if you caught that or not.
I sent
it over to you.
I haven't been on Facebook in a week.
Yeah, check your Facebook out. There should be a feed sitting there for our last show. And I'll do the same thing for this one. So it feeds onto your Facebook. But I think maybe we should create a Facebook page just for our show, and we'll put our feeds on there. So,
well, that'll work too. And, you know, that's how people can find us. There was another question about finding.
I wasn't in a missile launcher sales. I would do the same thing for my Facebook page, but I can't get this with missile launcher sales.
Well, this was my question. How do we show up? Are we as low standards and pores?
So far.
These different things?
Yeah, so far, low standards and pores. I see we've had some compliments on YouTube about our name. People thought it was pretty creative.
Well, I like the sound of that.
Yeah.
I would love to, in fact, you know, if not tonight after I'm done, well, when we're done here, maybe I'll go on YouTube and take a look and see if I can throw some comments on comments.
But, yeah.
You know, that's the other thing is I wanted to make sure that, you know, any of the four people who are not related to us or are listening can throw comments on our stuff and we'll comment back.
Yeah, give us things to talk about.
We're small enough that we don't think we're all that important.
Right.
But yet we could be big enough that we could be important enough to make whatever topic people want us to talk about important.
Exactly. Couldn't be better said.
There's a better way to say that, and I didn't do it. But, you know, that's a typical Thursday for me.
Right,
You know, it's Wednesday.
I hear you. I got golf tomorrow. I got my mom's birthday tomorrow. I got golf, and I've got a party to go to on Friday. And I'm going to go down to Detroit on Saturday and show some homes. And that's my weekend. That's my next 3-4 days.
So I was thinking, as a complete side note, and then we'll wrap this up.
Yeah,
but,
go ahead.
We could do a show and call it HPV.
HPV.
Yeah, like as in the virus that kids get.
Yeah.
But it would be, and I wrote this down and now I can't remember what it is.
Old age.
Yeah. Oh, there's total old age. I'll come up with the right thing, but it's like holistic podcast vibrations or something like that. Something really just stupid for HPV. You know, people look at it, oh, I'm researching HPV, and then they come up with this, our stupid podcast, and it has nothing to do with actually the disease.
I got you. They got some stuff on the market. It's like squid cheese or something that makes you remember things. It's they advertise it all the time on TV. Just squid to let you know. Cheese. Yeah, it's squid cheese. It's a pill you take. It's got squid cheese in it, and it helps you remember things. So,
how many times do squids make milk and then let it ferment long enough to make cheese? I mean, where is this squid cheese, really?
I don't know. You know, the reason why I say it, since we're on this topic of squid cheese, is that my broker, you know, he's 60, 61 now, and he was watching something on TV, and it was something about squid something, squid sperm, squid shit, squid piss, and it's where it comes from, and it helps you remember things, and he went and bought it, and I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, you actually went and bought that shit? Do you think it's actually going to make you remember things better?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Yeah, I don't know. I thought it was kind of funny, but I'm like, listen, read more books, you know, keep your mind healthy, work out, whatever, but don't buy any kind of squid cheese shit from the internet and think it's going to make you remember things better.
Right, and there's so many things that are not so many of those fake drug things.
Holistic remedies.
Oh, God, don't even get me started. We could do a whole show on that.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe we should.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's 106, Eric. Bill. That's Ben Bill. Another wonderful podcast.
El Carpe has been here.
He's still here. Episode 18. Whatever. We are moving along. We were told that by episode 20, we'll be in our groove, and I think we're finding it. So please listen in. We love you guys. Yeah. Everybody
that's here to join us. Anybody, even if you are related to us,
keep listening. Don't give up now.
It's only going to get funner.
Right.
If that was a word, that would be funner.
More grammar. More fun. More fun.
Well, don't get grammar policey on me. So.
All right. Well, listen.
This has been Low Standards and Pours. We're going to fall out of this thing the way we normally do, which is on accident. And this is the part where you hang up on me.
Yeah, so I'm going to hang up on you. And thanks for listening, everybody. And we'll be back on Sunday with a topic that is going to be even more interesting. And I'm going to leave it up to Bill because he is the king of interesting topics.
Now I got to come up with some shit.
Yeah, he'll be the host that evening because I'll be busy all weekend. If I find something that's interesting in my mind, I will text him and let him know.
Right.
But, I will. I'm just going to hang up right now. So,
no, you hang
up. Bill, get lost and be safe. I'll talk to you over the weekend. Ciao.
Kiss my honey.
All right, see you later. All right, see you later. Okay. All right, here it goes. Hang up. All right, bye.
Whatever.